listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to LA Talk Radio tonight. Love that you are here with me tonight. We're going to talk about, or this afternoon or tonight, depends on where you are, we're going to talk about how to profit from failure, profit cash, profit growth, profit opportunity, how to create profit from failure. You know, failure is one of those things that you have every day. So do I. Sometimes little, sometimes big, maybe not every day, but at least every week. Stuff goes like you don't want, right? And so we've had a little bit of conversations about failure before. We've defined it, you know, about it simply not getting the outcome you wanted, quote unquote, that's failure. I've given examples and stories, and I have some more to share with you, but I really wanted to just focus on the profit part. How do you profit from failure, right? Now, my goal, the only reason I've got this show, and I do this every week, is to love you, to serve you, to give you encouragement, examples, energy, enthusiasm, expansion opportunities. Why? Because I believe in you. I believe you are awesome. I believe you have infinite capability. And you know what? I've never been disappointed. And what I mean by that is I believe in people. I believe in your gifts, your talents, and your origin. And that means you're capable, and that means your possibilities are endless. I believe it. I know it. And I've never been wrong. And it's not because I'm magic. It's because that's true. And what I mean by I've never been wrong is every single person I've ever met, when we've had the chance to talk for more than 15 or 20 minutes, and, you know, I get to ask questions and there's some truth exchanged, your awesomeness becomes so obvious. I'm in awe. You know, it's interesting. I have some of the most interesting people who have gone through all kinds of stuff, and they come on the show and this one and my podcast, which is also titled Your Ultimate Life. And I would encourage you to do that, by the way. If you're not listening to the podcast, that comes out twice a week, Your Ultimate Life. It's on Apple and Amazon and Spotify and all the other podcast platforms. And it's titled the same thing. Why am I doing two shows with the same thing? Because they're really different. This is a live broadcast. And I interview lots of people live on this. But it's really focused on the same thing from a bit of a different angle. We are here to explore the tools, the truths, and sometimes the trauma, the turnarounds, and everything else that can move us from failure to fruition, from flopping on the face to fantastic. And I know you can do that. You've seen a million examples of it. So have I. They make movies about it. They write books about it. And you know what? You're movie worthy. You're book worthy. Your story matters. I don't care what's come before. I don't care where you've been and what's happened up to this very minute. You matter now. And you can have a giant impact, if you want to, starting this minute. All that has to happen is changing directions. When we have failures, or things that feel like failures, ridicule, and, you know, people make fun of us and not good enough and flop and all the rest, that's okay. And the very next minute, you can change direction and move in a different direction. Try something new. That is one of my favorite things about the work I do, coaching, is because since we all have failures, it's the moment of awareness when you realize, yeah, that happened. So what? So what? So that's what we're here to do. We're here to figure out how to turn profit in, how to get profit from failure, how to turn your worst nightmares into your dream life. If you don't think that's possible, let's explore that, because this is the place where that happens. I'm in, all in, to helping you create your ultimate life, a life of, say your words, minor purpose, prosperity, and joy. What are the description words of your life? All right, so here, let's get started. Here's some ideas about failure, right? I have had a very painful failure. This was when I was, let's see, I was 42 and a half, going on 43. And it was in May. No, it was May of 97. So I was 41, going to turn 42 in December. And I was trying the best I could, and I was very qualified to get a high-level position. Now, I had a good job, and I had great opportunities, so it wasn't starvation on one hand. But I was qualified and really wanted to get a certain job. I interviewed and found out I didn't. Total, abject, absolute rejection, failure, whap. And you know what I did? I got so mad. I was walking down the street in San Francisco. I had my cell phone in my hand, and you know, that would have been a different one. It was one of those flip phones, right? Little brick things, flip phones with a antenna that you pulled out the top. And I got the news, and I screamed at the top of my lungs at the sky, "I never get the gig." I scream, "I never get the gig." And I don't know what people around me thought, you know, numb nutcase, some whiner. Maybe I was being a whiner, but that was an abject failure, right? So then what? How do you profit from failure? That's what we're going to explore in great depth. Now, before we do, I want to invite you, if you haven't gone to the URL on the screen, www.yourultimatelife.ca, www.yourultimatelife.ca, why not? There's free stuff there that's worth $1 billion that will help you create your dream life. It's called Five Master Keys to Your Ultimate Life, your magic life, your dream life. So go get that. That's your invitation. All right. Thomas Edison had a quote about failure that's worth remembering here. And he said, "I have not failed. I found 1,000 ways that don't work." Okay, well, that's one way to look at it. Some people said he failed 1,000 times before creating the light bulb. Now, I've heard that two ways. I've heard 10,000 and I've heard 1,000, but I used 1,000 because I didn't want it to be too exaggerated. And if it was 10,000, then the message is like, whoa, way more powerful. But anyway, I found 1,000 ways that don't work to make a light bulb. What an interesting view. I am sure that all those experiments also lended information and acceleration to other projects he was working on, because the light bulb was obviously not the only thing he built. Okay, here's Winston Churchill, and I love this one. This one's near and dear to my heart about turning failure into profit. He says, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." Now, I love that quote, because even if I had gotten that gig and gotten that job, that was just one thing. I mean, a year, two, three, five later, there would have been some other thing. So success is not final. I'm writing books. You know, I've written a lot of books, 19. So what? I'm working on number 20. Is that magic? No, it's just the next thing that I had that I thought was worth sharing with you. So book number 15 wasn't final, 16, my 10th Amazon bestseller. So what? There is the yearning inside of us all the time to grow. Money doesn't scratch that itch. Money is a marker that says, gee, that did work. It is a marker that said that did work, but it is not final and it is not ultimately satisfying, because you can stack cash till the cows come home. And that doesn't satisfy the itch that you feel to grow, to matter, to add good to the world. I want you to think about people that you know right now. You see them in the world. You see them in high-profile sports, in acting, Hollywood, Broadway, all kinds of places where someone who is had a career, 10, 20, 30, 40 years of success, and yet they're trying for that one more thing, as if that somehow is going to be the defining success. Success is not final, and failure is not fatal. the courage to continue that counts. And I want to add one little caveat. Failure is not fatal unless you let it be fatal. Hear that. Please, if you quit, if you give up on your dream, if you give up on your desire, if Edison had given up at 500, we wouldn't have the light bulb, or would have been somebody else. And then we wouldn't have not only a light bulb, maybe later, but we wouldn't have this story of amazing turning failure into profit. Okay. There are a couple of more quotes that I want to share with you that I think are really valuable. And so I hope you write these down, or I hope you think about this, because these are true. These are not just things people say to make you feel good. You know what I hate? I hate that feeling when someone says, oh, it'll be okay. Everything happens for a reason. You know, like they're patting you on the butt or on the shoulders or on the head. They're there. That's not very helpful. At least it's never been to me. But these quotes are not that. These are statements of truth ripped out of the heart of the universe by those who fought their way through. Think about that. These lessons, Churchill's, his accomplishments during World War II and his leadership is the stuff of eternal legend. Edison, likewise. Albert Einstein, in the midst of being a Jew and being, you know, afraid of his homeland, Germany, and all the rest, and creating of some of the most enduring theories of physics, particle physics, quantum physics of the universe, and all the rest. He says, failure is success in progress. Well, I saw a movie about him, and maybe you've seen one or two, and failure is success in progress is a fabulous description of what he was doing. He tried this thing, it didn't work, it fell apart, didn't explain, you know, some piece of observable data in their quest to understand atoms and, you know, the constituencies of atoms, first molecules and then atoms and the behavior of subatomic particles and all of the things that went into that period of incredible discovery. You know, in the first 50 years in the 1900s was a staggering leap of a set of achievements in the understanding of the universe and the tiny particles that make it all up. So failure is success in progress. So what? So you failed. So what? So now let's figure out how to turn it into profit. First of all, we need to redefine failure. Failure, like we said before, it's just not getting what you want. Here's another thought. Failure, meaning not getting what you want, is a natural part of growth. So let's talk about a weightlifter. A weightlifter who is going for a new high, a new record, right? Deadlift or over the shoulder. I don't even know the names of those, but you see them, right? Because the Olympics is on right now as I record this. And when you see it, it'll be over. But you see these people and those weightlifters, they lift to failure. They keep going up. And you know what? They're going to fail. They're going to get to a weight they can't do. And it is not getting what you wanted. Now, you can imagine they've done that 1,000 times in the gym as they press their limits, as they push the boundary every day with their courage and determination. Can you imagine if we said, failure is just going to stop me? I can't do this. Nobody's going to write that story. Nobody's going to celebrate that comment. It won't achieve anything remarkable. And in addition to not achieving anything remarkable, you know what the worst thing is? It wrecks your personal heart. It leaves you or me feeling worthless. We'll talk about mindset later as we turn failure into profit. So failure is a natural part of the journey, a natural part of growth, a natural part of trying things. I do music in the studio. I'm pointing over there because there's a recording studio in that part of the room or that part of the basement. And I try stuff all the time. I try this sound here and this instrument there, and I try this mix and that mix. Ew, that sucks. You know, I'll take and listen to it on some other speakers. Oh, that's terrible. If I allowed that to burn my heart down, I'd never put music out. And you know, I've got some 91 songs in commercial release, and I've got three more nearly done. So here's another thought in redefining failure. Failure is not the opposite of success. It's part of it. Failure is part of success. There is no success without failure. Think about that. You're not going to get to success unless you do things, you push the boundaries and see where they are. And if you just say, well, this is just checking the boundaries, if this is just the art and the science of challenging boundaries, then it isn't failure. The problem with failure comes when I identify it with me personally. I try this thing in the studio, or I don't weight lift, but if I did, if I try a new weight and I can't do it and I'm on my face, boom. Oh, therefore I suck. Therefore I'm bad. Therefore I'm talentless or worthless. Not true. Not true. Okay. Number two, when we understand failure, it's natural and it's just part of the process. The next thing is, after you understand a failure, you don't have any drama about it. You just look at it. What happened? I tried a thing. You tried a thing. I tried the thing in the studio because I thought it would work. Right? I didn't try it because I thought it was stupid. Edison never tried a method creating the light bulb that he thought was stupid. He tried something he thought would work, and then it didn't. So then the next step is to take a look at it. What didn't do what I thought it would do? What behaved differently? What outcome? Where in the process of creation did it break down? So let me do some stuff about the studio. I'll put a sound, and I do all kinds of different music, jazz and EDM, electronic dance music, and folk, and you know, pop music that has lyrics, and I even do meditation music. So one of the things that I love to do is experiment with sound. And because there's so much, and you know, you go from the 80s to the 90s to 2000 to contemporary stuff, there's a lot of different sounds in the bass drum and the bass sound, you know, thinking of bass guitar and rock. Well, there's thousands of different sounds you could use. So I'm always experimenting with bass sounds, and I'll put one in a song to see if it works. And then it doesn't work. And I listen to it, it sounds muddy and whatever, but I don't just throw it away. I say, why doesn't that work? So I'll get out the spectrum analyzer and look at the sound and see where the frequencies are and say, oh, okay, it's crowding that frequency area. And I'm being technical and I don't expect you to understand that. And maybe you do, and that's cool. But I take a look at why it didn't work. And then I make an adjustment, scrap the sound or adjust the frequency spectrum to make it work. Okay. The key is not to tie it to personal worth. If I did that, and every time the sound sucked, I said, oh, therefore I suck as a musician or an engineer or a sound designer, I'd never produce music. And all the hundreds of songs that I've done over the decades, but the 90 or so that I have up now, it wouldn't be there because I'd be forever afraid of the failure. Oh, that sucks. Somebody will think it's not perfect. Let me give you another example. One of the things I've started doing in the last 2 months to promote music that I have, and if you're interested, here's another invitation. Go to Spotify and put in my name, and you'll get a list of a whole bunch of songs, and you'll be able to listen to them, and I invite you to do that, and maybe you'll hate them, and if you do, I invite you to tell me, and tell me why, and if you love them, I invite you to tell me that too. All kinds of different music, as I says, new age and EDM, and I would call it pop, except kind of more folk with stories, and those I wrote to tell the stories of some of the books that I wrote. But anyway, I have started 2 months ago putting that music out in distribution lists. So there's a company that makes their living taking music, your new music, and submitting it to different playlist curators. And I've submitted 4 songs now, I think, to dozens of playlist curators, and I would guess 90% of them reject the song. Doesn't fit my playlist. Well produced, nice song, nice melody, this and that, but you know, I think the mix isn't very good, or you know, I really don't like the vocal sound. I could take that personally. Oh no, I suck. Well, I don't, and the reason I don't is because I choose not to. I've been working with a vocal coach, Hollywood A-list, by the way, for 7 years, so I know what's good and what's not. But that could rip my heart out and push me into the corner, and then I'd die. So, and if I think there's a merit, like if I read a comment where I'm going, wow, I wonder about that, then I would go back and listen to the mix with that in mind and run a sort of after the fact, sort of like game film, sporting game film, right? When you run a game afterwards, I'd look and see, maybe there's some merit there. I wonder if that's true. I wonder what that means. And I'd learn from that. Guess why? Turn success into failure. So after the fact analysis is so important, so you can learn something if it is there to learn. And here's the point. If I got mad and said, I'm not listening to you, crap, I don't care what the critics say, that would be not very productive. If I say, and I get curious, I wonder if there's something there, I better go check that out. That can be really valuable, and it's a place you can build. So there is another way to turn success into failure. Okay, the next thing I want to do builds on what we just talked about, and this is your mindset. This is how you're thinking about things. Because if someone says the base is muddy, and that means there's too much energy, too many instruments occupying the bass frequencies from about 40 cycles to about 150 cycles. Doesn't matter. That's just technical crap. I could get pissed and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid. And that would be one way. It would be an emotional reaction that overlooks a possibility to turn failure into success. So instead, I could put the song on the frequency analyzer, play it, and watch that frequency blow that part up really big and listen to the competing sounds, the bass kick drum and the bass sounds, and, you know, figure out, and maybe even some low synth sounds, low piano, you know, left-hand piano. I got to analyze that and see, is that too full? Are they competing? Is it too muddy? And I could learn something from that and create value instead of getting, you know, upset and personally offended. And if I find that that's right, I could say thank you. And, you know, if the opportunity is to say thank you to the person, okay, or maybe not, depending on if I can or not, or if it makes sense. But in any case, I can say thank you, universe. Thank you, God, for sending me this person to point out something I was clearly missing as an engineer. My mix was heavy in these frequencies. Thank you. What a great thing. I can grow. I can learn from this. The difference isn't the actual fact of whether or not there's too much there in terms of the failure, quote. It is my attitude, my mindset. If I have a growth mindset, which is I'm going to learn from everything, then guess what? I get to. Now, I have a PTAC, personal truth and commitment, personal constitution that governs my relationship with every person I meet, you, you beautiful people listening to this, and thank you. I acknowledge you. You're wonderful and powerful. And I want you to create everything you can and change the world in your area and with your stuff because you're wonderful. But anyway, if I have a fixed mindset, that means I argue with things. A growth mindset means I'm believing that there's opportunity. The statement in my personal truth and commitment is, I am that I study, learn from, and get coached by, and then I list five things, and one of them is, I am that I study, learn from, and get coached by each person in my path. Each person in my path, regardless of their standing, stature, or status. And I use those three words because I start with S, and standing means rich or poor to me, and stature means old or young, referring to height, and status means famous or unknown. But my point about saying that is I don't care where I meet them. I don't care if they're on the street or in the store. I don't care if they're wealthy or not. I don't care if they're well-known or not. I look for growth. So if you want to turn success or create success from failure, profitability, cash, look for coaching with an open heart and an open mind from every single person you talk to. What have you got to lose? If you don't tie it to your self-esteem and self-worth, and you simply act curious, choose to be curious, there you go. You have an opportunity to learn something. Huh, I didn't know that. Now, there are some practices that I do to prepare me to be there, to prepare me to be that way. And one of them is that very phrase. Now, I'll tell you all of the five parts, because I look to all kinds of stuff to grow. I say I am that I study, learn from, and get coached by, and I call them sacred words, by sacred words from scripture, as I read sacred words. From the oracles of God, and by that I just mean those who speak with inspiration. There are people who seek inspiration. I'm one of them. Maybe you are too. But there are people who spend their effort and energy trying to be of service, to be helpful. And sometimes they do it in obnoxious ways, like people standing on street corners screaming at you. That's not what I'm talking about. But I personally know a lot of people who spend a lot of effort just trying to serve and be valuable, listen to people. So anyway, from the oracles of God, then I say from my companion, which is my precious and beautiful angel wife, Joy. So I treat her as a sacred source. Think about that. I know so many people that don't get along well with their partners, and I wonder about that. And you know, from my earlier story, I failed 3 times at marriage. I sucked at it. I didn't know how to be a partner. I didn't know how to be honest. I didn't know how to do a lot of things, and this isn't about that. Something I've learned in my healing since the miraculous stuff in 2007, when I had a divine intervention, changed my life, and started over again, is to just be humble and listen. To believe that Joy, who's my soulmate, everything she says is aimed at good. Everything she thinks is aimed at helping. Everything she says to me is trying to be useful. Now, like everybody, we all have our foibles, and maybe somebody gets upset and says it in a negative way or taunting or a little bit jeering or whatever. I have chosen now to just look past all that. Why? Because I want to get profit from failure. I don't want to miss any opportunities to create growth and create cash. And all of these lead to cash. And do you know why? Because I am better. When you and I, when we are better every day, better at being truthful, better at speaking, better at listening, we are also better at creating products, better at coaching, better at enrolling clients, better at finding prospects. We get better at all those things. You know why? Because we leave our own drama out of the conversation. We leave our own stories about, oh, I'm not good enough. We leave all that crap out. And a good way to practice that for me has been to seek growth from everyone. So anyway, the third one I say is from my companion, which is Joy. And then I say from my own inspiration. Because I seek every morning, you know, my ritual's 2.5 hours long. I do that. Why? Because I want inspiration. I want to live my days through inspiration. I want to be inspired as I talk to you, not because I want to be cool. I want to say something valuable. I want to encourage you to own and claim your own divinity and capability. So I intentionally meditate and seek for connections so that I can say something useful. And you might think everything I've said in this episode's stupid, and that means I didn't do that for you. Or you might think it's magic. I don't know. I have found that my ability to get benefit from any interaction is on me. Almost no interaction that I have is with someone who is intentionally trying to harm me. Maybe they're indifferent. Maybe they're self-focused. Maybe they're just callous. That's the worst. Most of the time, 99 plus, nobody's out to get you and hurt you. It happens, but not very often. And so if I hear that, that's on me. And that means my ears are shut to opportunities to create cash, profit from the interaction. And if the interaction's negative, then there must be some perceived failure on their part. And if I can just look past all the noise and listen to the content, maybe there's some gold in those words. All right. So that's how I prepare. And then the last one is what I said, from each person in my path, regardless of their standing, stature, or status. The next point I want to talk about are these pesky emotions. When we fail, I don't know about you. When I failed, it used to be before tons of work I've done on this change in this, that I had a flood of emotion. I was upset. I was embarrassed. I wanted to hide. Didn't want anybody to know. I ragged on myself furiously. My internal conversation was obscene. I spoke to myself in ways that I would never speak to anyone else. I was cruel and unkind. Maybe you're not that rowdy on yourself, and maybe you're worse. I don't know. But when I failed, meaning did something, tried really hard, and it flopped, I didn't just see it as a flop. I saw it as an indictment of my own talent, an indictment of my effort, an indictment of my worthiness. You know, I got punished because I suck. I went that and further. So what if we understand that failure is just an event, the event of not getting what you want? The minute you understand that and disconnect the emotion, you're way on your way to create cash, profit, value. And I keep saying cash, but profit is much bigger than that. So let's say you're trying to have a conversation with someone, a difficult conversation, and they get upset. Instead of blaming yourself or blaming them and letting emotion cloud everything, just back off and say, well, that didn't work very well. Let's try this again. Can we try this again? Can we do it now or should we wait an hour or maybe tomorrow? We didn't start that well. And if you can do that without drama, people almost always will cooperate. So learning to manage your emotions is powerful. And learning to manage your emotions, oh, gee, that's easy to say. What that means is realize that no matter what happened, it's not an indictment. It is simply an outcome. It is an event. The only way it turns into an emotional cascade of terror and pain is if you make it that way. Just knowing that gives me all kinds of tools. I'm not going to make that. I'm not going to hear that from myself. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to interpret it a different way because I want to, because I don't want those negative emotions. When I get overcome with those negative emotions, I don't know about you, but I'm useless for 10 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, maybe the rest of the day. You know, it used to lead me to do things like go get wasted and stuff. And I was useless the rest of the day and maybe tomorrow. So managing that kind of emotion and stress is not magic. It's choosing. I'm not participating in that. I'm just going to look at this as an opportunity to grow, to get profit, profit in learning, profit in a new method, profit in good feedback. Okay. Another piece that's really important and has been a critical thing for me in overcoming failure and turning failure into profit is setting decent goals. I am an overachiever, type A, all the way to the wall, big ass goals, expect infinity of myself and all that stuff. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're not. I don't know. But I was. And so I said big ass goals all the time. And if I didn't achieve them, then I ragged on myself. One of them was, you know, my rigid schedule, get up at 5 o'clock or 4:30 and do this and do this and do this. And it was this sort of rigid. And inevitably, something happened. It took longer than I wanted, or I didn't feel good, or I hurt my arm exercising or whatever. And then I'd get behind. And the minute I got a half an hour behind, then I was breathless and out of sorts the rest of the day. Never going to get caught up. Ah, shit. Never, you know, that kind of feeling. And so guess what? The rest of the day sucked because I was beating myself up trying to catch up to an arbitrary set of goals that were too aggressive in the first place. So what I've learned, and it is joyful, and you see me laughing, right? What I've learned is to set goals you can do. You know what's more important than achieving your goals? When you set big ones that are hard, it's more important to set smaller goals and get there. Setting big goals and failing is poison, because what you teach yourself is you suck. You can't keep your word. You fail. I set these goals, and every time I fall short, set smaller goals. Period. Set smaller goals. Achieve them. And get in the habit. Make the truth of your life to be, I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. And shrink the goals until that is true all the time. I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. Not sometimes, not 50%, nearly, at least 99% of the time. I said it, I did it, I said it, I did it. Then, when I said it, I did it is the truth of your life, you can increase the goals by 5%. Okay, I said it, I did it. Well, I always do what I say. That's who I am. Okay, I'm going to just increase it a little bit. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Tiny little 5% more effort. I said it, I did it. I said it, I did it. Growing your goals is really simple. On a gradual slope, especially when you have the truth of your habits to be, I said it, I did it. So create, I said it, I did it as the default mechanism. Not, I said it, I tried. Oh, maybe I'll do better tomorrow. That's a poison way to live. Don't do that. I said it, I did it is a billion-dollar secret. If you create, I said it, I did it as the truth of your life, you can accomplish any goal because growing your goals will be natural. When I said it, I did it is who you are. You'll want to increase their size a little at a time. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. Ooh, and it gets to be exciting. And every day is an exciting victory instead of a miserable failure. Well, I did that to myself all the time. It was a disaster when I quit doing that. And I didn't learn that in one day, but it's been a gradual process. I've been at this work of self-improvement and growth for the last 17 years. In August of 2007, I had a divine intervention, radically changed my life, walked away from a 30-year career, started all over again, and rebuilt myself from the ground up. A lot of help. Help from the divine, counselors, because I had a lot of depression and other things to deal with, coaches and all that stuff. Love it, swear by it. And if you want to get this stuff done fast in your life, get a coach. Use me, use somebody else, but get somebody that loves you, that's on your side, that's going to hold you accountable and help you achieve your greatness. Don't settle for mediocrity. Why would you do that? You're too good for that. All right. Next thing. And when you set these little goals, you know, the acronym SMART, goals that are specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, achievable, relevant, time-bound, whatever it stands for. Look it up, S-M-A-R-T. That's one method of doing it. It just means make sure that they fit. Make sure that you can do them. So I said it, I did it. It's the truth of your life. The next thing is that I use is I'm not super rigid in my planning, but I am super rigid in my, not rigid is the wrong word, but diligent in my daily preparation. My days dance all over the place, just like yours. Things get interrupted. This happens. That happens. Happens all the time, every day, a little bit or a lot. So how do you deal with that when you're trying to turn? Because any one of those you could look at as a failure. This interruption. Why did that stupid thing call? How come that broke? How come I got to go do this with the car? How come blah, blah, blah? I used to do that. Okay. That's what I'm talking about it like that. When I quit doing that, my life changed entirely and I got more done. And I was happier. Think about that. More done and happier. You know how? I'll tell you right now. I have a process. I call it, you know, morning routine, morning ritual. I call it a daily creation process, right? DCP, daily creation process. It is a bunch of stuff I do when I get up in the morning. Not because I have to. Not because somebody said so. Not because somebody wrote the 5 a.m. miracle. Not because of any of that. Because I love how I feel. Now, I don't have time to go over that process here in this episode, but I have in other episodes, or if you want to know, reach out and let's talk. It is magic. I have a magical daily creation process. And when I'm done with that, I feel invincible. Invincible doesn't mean everything goes right, because it doesn't. It doesn't mean everybody does what I want, because they don't. And it doesn't mean everything works out, because it doesn't. It means that I am in a position that no matter what happens, no matter what fails or who does what or what else happened, I am on top of the world. I am creative. I can deal with it. I go roll with the punches and I create a way through. And it isn't magic. It's because of the mindset that I create. So my daily creation process is magic. It will work. And it will create an invincible you every day. So that's the tool that I use to get around all those derailments that happen every day. Some happened today. Some happened yesterday. Some are going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes they're little. Sometimes they're big. So what? So what? You're on a mission to create your ultimate life. You're on a mission to live a life you love. That's available and it's right there in your reach. And it starts with a daily creation process. Okay. Another thing that I'll just mention very briefly before we go on, and that is I wrote a book called The Results Equation. It's on Amazon, The Results Equation. It's the best book in the world, I think, best one I've ever seen, on how to achieve any goal, how to start here and get here. I call it, the subtitle is The Results Equation from Dream to Done in 5 Simple Steps. Now, they're not easy, but they're 5 simple steps. They work with any project, anywhere of any size. That process helps you identify tasks, break them down, get them on your calendar, you know, create priorities, all of the things that have to do with getting stuff done, it handles. So if you want to know how to do that, get anything done, then get the results equation and reach out and let's talk. When you've done the morning, the daily creation process, and you use the results equation, goal setting and accomplishment process, there's nothing you can't do. Failure becomes a footnote. Failure is a footnote on your road to success. It is. It's a bump in the road. It's actually welcome. I love it. I love failing. Let me fail five times today. Why? Because I learned five things. So I win no matter what I do. If I do something and it works, I win. If I do something and it fails, I learn. I win. I can look at it like that just as well as any other way. That's how I create cash from failure. I don't give up. I don't quit. I look at how I can learn from it and I get after it again. And if something crashes bad enough, maybe I change my mind and I don't want to do that, but that's okay. All right. So the next piece is something that I had a terrible time with, and that is seeking feedback. I had such a problem with being told I was wrong or failing, as it were. I avoided feedback at all costs. I would look to people and see if they, you know, liked it or didn't, you know, body language and other things. But the idea of rolling it out and saying, everybody, give me your feedback. Tell me what you think. That was a blade to the heart. I was so scared they were going to come back and say, Kellen, you suck. That sucks. It doesn't look good, read good, sound good, whatever I did. Your talk was terrible. Didn't capture anybody's attention. So I didn't take advantage of that. If you want to get success or profit from failure, you got to learn to go get feedback. And you can 10 times the effectiveness of that feedback if you go at it with an open heart. If you go at getting feedback with, oh, here it is. Oh, please tell me it's okay. People will sense that and they won't be honest. So the feedback won't be very helpful. Or you'll get somebody that says, screw you, I don't care what you think, and they'll give you brutal feedback, and then you'll be crushed. So you'll either get lied to or you'll be crushed. Drop the drama, right? Ask for feedback. Now, don't ask the wrong people, right? If you write a book and you only ask your family, they're going to say, oh, how nice, probably, right? Don't ask people that are on your side already. Ask people that have something to do with it. Go find feedback from relevant people in the business. I've had a Hollywood A-list vocal coach for 7 years or 8 years now. And I have a lesson every couple of weeks. And I ask feedback. And in the beginning, I was terrified. Oh, he's going to tell me my voice sucks or whatever. He didn't. He gave me things to work on and told me what worked and what didn't. But I needed to get over the feeling that feedback was an indictment. So asking for feedback and accepting it as a positive growth opportunity is a big ticket, a heavy hitter on the way to profit from failure or not getting the outcome you wanted. Of course, what I wanted is, oh, that's the most beautiful thing that ever got sung in the whole universe. It's perfect. Don't touch it. Well, that never happens. I get really positive feedback sometimes. But other times, you know, that was good. There's a couple of things to work on. Let's get to work on them. When you go at it with no drama, then that's all it is. A couple things to work on. Okay. The next thing is a plays off of that, and that is good support network. Okay. Good support network is important because when you're growing, you're going to fail. If you're going to fail, you need someone who believes in you, your coach. Maybe if you've got a partner like I do, I've got an angel for a wife who is truthful and honest, but always supportive. I've got other people, a few. I've never had many. I grew up not knowing how to make friends and have a friend. That's something I've learned. I'm 68 now. It's something I've learned only in the last 15 years. So it doesn't matter why. That's a whole different episode. But I had to learn that. And so creating a supportive network was a real challenge for me. I now have that. And I'll share that with you too about how I did it and everything else, if you want to get a hold of me, I've got lots to help on that because I've spent, as I said, the last 17 years in this personal development business and making these changes. Okay. Another thing that really helps me, and this may be the second to last thing, is to stay connected to my reason, my raison d'être. If you raison d'être, my French is crappy probably. But anyway, the reason for being, like, why are you doing this? If you're on a steep growth curve, like if you say, I'm going to get to the top of the mountain, me, I'm going to be able to perform solo vocal work that knocks your socks off. I have a reason for being there because my purpose for breathing air right now is to help 250 million people realize your divinity, your capability, and your possibility, who you really are, what you can create, help you change the world like I'm trying to, by developing your gifts, by serving, by loving, by creating the products and services that you're naturally gifted at so we can all enjoy them. That's my mission, 250 million people this year. That's my why. The music is a big part of that. So when I have a difficult time, my voice isn't cooperating or whatever, and I'm not doing the exercises right, or I'm not getting the results I want, it's easy to get discouraged and think, I'll never get there. Go back to your why. One of my why statements is in my daily creation process. I am that I sing to millions to share songs of inspiration and healing. See, everything about what I do comes from my own journey, my own failures, my own need for healing, and my own successes. Why? To encourage you. But no matter where you've been, it's important. It's possible to start now and make a big difference. So staying connected to the reason you're doing this is really important. Now, one of the most important things I do with people is I help them create their why. And I use this little finger thing. I hope you're looking at the video. This triple helix to help people identify the thing that they have that fills their soul with joy, that fills their wallet with cash, and that makes a big difference in the world. Would you like to be doing something that fills your heart with joy, your wallet with cash, and makes a big difference in the world? You can. I know that, and you're not even here in front of me, because I've never been disappointed in assuming that when I talk to somebody. They may or may not want to do the work, but it's possible and it's available for you right here, right now. Failure is nothing but feedback. It's an interesting data point, IDP, I call it. The last thing I want to talk about is celebrating success. Like, you're going to succeed and you're going to fail. You're going to do things that win and you're going to do things that lose. Celebrate the success and learn from the failures. Take the emotional charge out of the word failure. 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 It's not a personal indictment. It's just a word. It means I didn't get what I wanted. So take the drama out of that because it's heavy. It's destructive. It tears your heart out. So take the drama out. But put the drama in successes. Now, not ridiculously so because, right, success is not final. But celebrate when you win, when you create a product that somebody buys, when you write a book that somebody reads, when you have that hard conversation, no matter how it turned out, you did it. You said it, you did it. You created the progress. So celebrate those wins. Celebrate your courage, your willingness to go do the hard thing. I invite you to examine your heart, your relationship to failure, to recommit to your why. Why are you breathing air every day? If you don't know, that's changeable, that's fixable. I have found that when I identified why I was alive every day and what I was trying to do, life got 1,000 times better, easier, faster, more joyful, and more prosperous. Profit, profit, profit. Not just cash, but how it felt. My interactions with you and everybody else, my podcast episodes, these, every conversation I have is joy, it's fun, and I love my life. It doesn't matter what happens each day. I don't mind. It's just an adventure. a joyful adventure. I can promise you, you're divine. You're capable. I can't promise you you'll do the work. I can promise you if you do the work, there's joy on the other side. There's progress on the other side of any failure. There's power that's available just because you make the effort. You can profit from every failure in your life. You can create results that right this minute might seem beyond your imagining. You can create anything you want. You really can. You have access to the creative power of the universe. It may seem like that's a fanciful conversation, but it's not. So I invite you once again, get a hold of me. Let's have a conversation. I have confidence in your greatness. Go to the website, www.yourultimatelife.ca, and get the free stuff there so you can profit from failure. You can learn to grow in everything you do. Have fun all the time. Joy around every corner, and all of that.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.